Before I begin the word, I believe I have a word from the Lord for you, brother. And I don't ever do this. I don't think I've ever done this. But we have no prophet here, and I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to me something for you. Is that going to be okay if I tell you what I believe the Lord is saying for you?
Yes.
You're okay with that?
Yes.
Okay. I believe the Lord would say to you, son, in me there is no retirement. Your labor in the Lord has nothing to do with your age. The Lord has much more for you. The kingdom of God is much greater than this little house. And the Lord would have you come before His face and begin to ask Him, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do now? But if you say, surely I will quit serving the Lord, it would be as good as saying, I will die. So come before the Lord and He will show you new paths and new places to serve His children, His people, and His kingdom.
So tanu ya dito no, konte la Dios, kagis ati ko nita bigiti bukuliyete sa Dios ko akamas bete ichil umeyan ako tanle kada tanu ya dito.
God bless you.
Yes, bless you.
I would just like to introduce myself. I am from New York State.
New York, ukabas ba kumain?
And that is not New York City. I live in the mountains and in the forest, 200 miles from the city. But I must say that the road to my house is much better than this road. When I was a very young man in my 20s, I lived in Alaska for 5 years and I was a Nazarene. Today, my daughter, who lives in New York State, is also a Nazarene. Her family, her husband. So I have no problem with the Nazarene people. Amen.
Amen.
You all folks can say amen if you want. Amen. Now, however, I must also tell you that in heaven, there will be no Baptists, no Pentecostals, no Nazarenes. All these kingdoms will be made one only Christians. There will be no Americans, no Belizees, none of that, no Mexicans. Hallelujah. And you guys are going to like this. The good news is there will be no male and no female. Jesus said it. It's not going to be the same as what we have today. We're going to lay aside the natural, physical, carnal man, and we're going to take on a spiritual man. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is within you. That means the life of the kingdom, the life of the Spirit. And God is giving you all these days and years of your life for the life of that Spirit to begin to come forth in the fullness of Jesus Christ. God did not save you just so that you can go into heaven and walk on a nice street of gold. The book of Hebrews says that His purpose is to bring many sons into glory. Now that word sons is different than children. He didn't say His purpose is to bring many babies into the kingdom. But He wants us to come to maturity. Maturity. He wants us to come to maturity. So, brethren, begin to listen to the life of the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. Call upon the name of the Lord to give you a greater manifestation, a baptism even in the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if you ask, He will surely give it to you. You ask for bread, He will not give you a rock. Ask for a fish, He will not give you a serpent. God will not trick you. I remember a time in my life when I was going through great hardship. I said, Lord, where are You leading me? Where is this going? We have never been on this path before. And the Lord assured me that He will not trick me. He will not take me down a road where there is no end. So that was an introduction. Amen. I came a long way, so I want to give you what the Lord has for me. And you. I want to read just two verses from Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 21 and 22. If I, this is my favorite chapter. They all are. Oh, if you people stand, you're going to be standing a long time. Because we're going to be talking a lot about the Word of God today. But you can stand for two verses. Okay. It says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Amen. Now you may take your seat, please. Amen. This word that Jesus has spoken to his disciples, I believe he's talking about something that's going to happen in my generation. And I know that my generation is coming to a close. Most people of my age don't live another 20 years, hardly. I could be wrong. The Lord could delay longer. But he's saying that something so terrible is going to happen to this world, such as never has ever happened before. Now, I was born at the beginning of World War II. And if you read any of the stories of history of what happened during the time when I was very small and could not even remember, you would probably agree that nothing as terrible as that had ever happened in the world before.
So,
there were men. Hitler. Mussolini, Stalin, Mao. These men were the devil's candidates for the Antichrist. But it was not yet the devil's time. God allowed it for a while and then he put a stop to it. So we have been living in a time of peace and safety for quite some time. We have enjoyed the peace. But the Bible is saying that it is going to come upon all the world. And that includes San Jose. We had a hard time finding you on this road. But the devil knows where you are. And the devil has his spiritual beings, and they are all over. We also know from the sixth or seventh chapter of Revelation. The Lord showed John that there were seven angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds. That it would not hurt any tree or any grass or any living thing. Until the servants of God are sealed in their forehead. Now I know that this is difficult language. And I know that this is spiritual language. Brethren, you have to understand that the book of Revelation is a very spiritual book. It is not a natural book. If you think that somebody someday is going to take a camera down to the sea and see this beast with seven heads rising out of the sea, you're never going to get a photograph of it. These are spiritual pictures. Now let me say that the whole Bible is a spiritual book. And we can understand it on the lower level of the natural. In other words, Jesus said the sower went and sowed some corn. So if that's all you want to see, you just had a lesson in agriculture. But the disciples understood there's something more in this. Can you tell us more? What is the spiritual meaning of this? Amen. And if you really want to know, there is a deeper yet, and it's called the fullness of understanding. Natural, spiritual fullness. So I ask the next question is, Lord, if these things are going to happen on all the world, including where I live, how can I be prepared for this? And why is the angels holding back until his servants are sealed in their forehead. What does that mean? Does that mean an angel is going to come with ink and he's going to write something on me? No. No. There's not going to be anything written on your forehead. This is spiritual language. This is your mind. This mind is part of your soul. Is your mind going to be fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Is your mind going to be sealed? Are you going to allow God to seal your mind that you will not wander away in your thinking, your desires, your will, or your emotions? Now the word that I read to you, Jesus said that the elect will be here during this terrible time. I believe that those who are born again and sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ are elect. The word elect and the word eklektos mean almost the same thing, and the word eklektos means the church, the called out. So the Lord says that for the sake of His people, His beloved called out people, He's going to shorten the days. But He's also going to make a provision for them in that time. The Word of God says nothing about removing them from the earth. But He says that He will take care of them and make provision for them. But there's something that you have to do in working with the Lord if you want to be in that place. The parable of the 10 virgins speak about all these virgins. The word virgins, woman, always means church in the Bible. In the Bible, there are two kinds of church. There is virgin church, born again, spirit-filled, holy living people of God. And there is harlot church. Babylon. False church. Amen. And then among the virgin, the true church, there are wise and there are foolish who are neglecting the oil of the Holy Spirit in their soul. The Lord paints many pictures for us, and many of them mean almost the same thing. Many ways so that we understand the deeper spiritual things that He's trying to tell us. So as I'm meditating and thinking about these things that are coming upon the world, and I'm asking the Lord, how can we be ready for these times? Now I go back to the book of Isaiah. And in chapter 26, I come to some of the words that Isaiah spoke. And I'm thinking, you know, chapter 26, verse 20 and 21.
Okay, 26 and 20, 21.
Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. Now the Lord is saying that this has to do with His judgment. There is much wickedness in the earth. Much corruption. Much violence. And the Lord says that He's going to bring His kingdom here to this earth. So in speaking of the coming of the Lord, He's going to cleanse the wickedness out of this earth. But He's saying there's a spiritual place that we can be shut in. You can call it whatever you want to call it. You can call it your place of prayer in the Lord. But you see, if you're going to call it just something that you're going to spend 10 minutes in a day, that's not what He's talking about. He's talking about a place where your whole life is going to be buried into death and resurrected in Christ.
Quatano yadika da mahamoja kanto ne nula leka kuchila da lektuba mukanes tula kara kustal ele ki kacha pere ti lich ela ka seguro ti lich ela ka ta lo yani dios an le kada kuchi la dato yani dik
he's calling for a people
ano hoy ko cristiano
who will be in prayer all day long speaking to the Lord and listening to hear the voice of the Lord. This is the secret place of the Most High. The next verse he says, Behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain.
Ok. Daniel 21. A Dios, Ilesha, Dios, Holoca, Ichilu Kuchil, Watak, O Castigato, Apeziano, Ichila, Ekolkabada, Yapalok, Eba. Ilektuna, Ayakolkaba, Bentonu Kuyeton, Bon, Akikel, Ahobok, Uhoyo, Kotan.
Amen. You can say amen.
Amen.
Now I want to go a little bit to Psalms. We're not finished, brethren. We're only halfway there. I don't preach half-hour messages. I came a long way. And I'm going to get all you'll give me. Amen. No, I won't be here till 3 o'clock in the morning. I have flesh too. Okay, Psalm 91. Brethren, your soul needs to memorize Psalm 91. You saying amen?
Amen.
You know where we're going, sister. Amen. I said, when I read Isaiah, I said, this is the secret place of the Most High. When I told you about the wise virgins, they entered into the secret place of the Most High. When I spoke from Revelation 11 about the two witnesses, these are not just two men. This is the witness of the Word and the witness of the Spirit working together in people. And they are living for 3.5 years in the secret place of the Most High. You see, brethren, I happen to believe that God made a covenant with man. That there would be a period of time when we would be able to walk in the fullness of Christ upon this earth during the most terrible time on this earth. Yes, amen. If you go back and study the book of Daniel, where Daniel is talking about the 70 weeks, And the 69th week came to an end, and the 70th week began with the birth and the coming of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus, in his ministry on this earth, was how long? It was 3.5 years. So the first half of the 70th week has been fulfilled, and then the clock stopped. Oh, brethren, God has clocks. No, He has clocks for us. God doesn't live where there's time. He lives in eternity. When you cross over into eternity, there is no keeping of time. But He made time for man. You read about it in Genesis when He created the earth. He created the stars, the moon, and He created these for the keeping of time. So I believe His covenant is yet to be fulfilled in that last 3.5 years. Now let us read some in Psalm 91. And you can stay sitting, it's okay, it's going to take a long time. Amen.
Amen.
It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Under the shadow of His great wings. Amen.
Amen.
He will keep you under His wings. 25 years ago, Brother Bill, I had chickens. But when the Lord began to send me out to travel, I decided my wife needs to come with me. Chickens go in the kettle. But I remember one day, we have the hawks that fly. And they're looking for birds and chickens. And the chicken somehow knows that the hawk is flying. And she had little babies, little chicks. And one day the mother hen, she saw the hawk. She called her little ones. And she went over to the side of the shed. And she covered them with her wings. In other words, she put herself between the devil and her little ones. She laid her life down for them. Jesus has done that for us. And he's saying that even in this time of terrible trouble, that he has made another provision that we can be under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler.
Amen.
You will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. We talked about the terrorist in the car on the way up. While we were dodging the rocks. Amen. And he says, the arrow that flieth by day. Now the word arrow in the Hebrew understanding is the word missile. And that word missile now has a new meaning in the 21st century. Now the military has these drone airplanes, and they can fly them into Belize from a man sitting in California. And the drone is armed with missiles. And a camera. When they first started using these in Desert Storm, what year was Desert Storm?
1991.
Yeah, some. When? 99. That's been 18 years ago.
Okay,
I saw the camera that the pilot from the airplane shot this one. I saw the camera and he put that missile right through a doorway. Right through the door. And it blew the whole house up. If you think you can hide in San Jose in these mountains, not anymore. Can I tell you a story, a real story, that happened on 9/11 when the terrorists blew up the big towers in New York City? There are two stories, actually. Do you believe that there were God-fearing people that worked in those towers? Yes. Do you believe that God can save them? Yes. We had an old woman in our fellowship. She's so old now that she's in a nursing home. But when that happened, her daughter was living in New York City. And the towers were in the lower part of New York City, near to a place that they call Chinatown. A lot of Chinese Christians, God-fearing people like you, that live there. Thirteen of the people from that church, I believe it was a Pentecostal church, 13 of the people worked in the tower. And on that morning, 13 of them were sick when they woke up in the morning. And they said, I can't go to work. But one of them was very stubborn. He tried to get up and go to work anyway, and he was going to start his car. His car would not start. And while they were homesick, the tower came down.
What?
They were home in their home, sick that day, when the tower fell. There was another people, another church. They have some funny beliefs, but they believe in the blood of Jesus and salvation. Something completely different happened to every one of them. Oh, they had to go somewhere else, you know. And none of them were killed in the tower. There were Christian people living in Hiroshima when the atomic bomb was dropped. One church. The pastor had to go out of town and he took some of the elders with him to another place for a meeting. Other people were travel here, travel there. Some of them went down into the basement of a building, way down inside. On that very moment, they were down inside and protected. One of them was under the shadow of a bridge, and the blast did not touch them. I'm telling you, God knows how to keep His own. But if you are not going to follow Him fully, He is under no obligation to protect you. Now this is the meaning, brother, of when I read that first verse in Revelation 11, measure the temple and the golden altar and those that worship in the holy place. Holy place people. You need to read this book. This is the tabernacle. Outer court, holy place, holy of holies. That's the mercy seat. That's God's plan to bring us through the veil to the mercy seat. Paul said in Hebrews that we might obtain and find mercy and help in time of need. Listen, that veil that keeps us out of the most holy place, God removed that veil in the Jewish temple. And then he sent the Romans in to tear the temple down. So man cannot go back to that old order. God destroyed it. So God has no veil in Him preventing us from coming in anymore. The problem with a veil is in us. Paul said the veil is upon the mind. The veil is upon our thinking, that we refuse to think the spiritual things that God wants us to come into. We are held back by traditions. Religious traditions. Family thinking traditions. Things that God wants to deliver us from this day. Oh God, deliver thy people. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I want to go to another verse here before we quit, but I see that Psalm 91. Listen, you need to go home and read it and read it and read it and understand every verse here. Pestilence, destruction shall not come nigh thee. Pestilence and destruction, verse 6.
Okay, Leka abal cheo oshana yahili.
1,000 fall on this side, 10,000 on that side, but it doesn't come near you.
Leka tula kazana yahila bela kaela yatano ashulti dotano yatal yana yaku yakunata tanu yatalo persiano mabel kukati shapecha bilada.
The believers that worked in that tower in New York City, 4,000 fell that day. But it did not touch them. Hallelujah. Now we're talking about coming into a place where we are sealed in God. But before I do, let me just go quickly to Luke. I just want to give you one verse in Luke 21:36. Well, let's do verse 35 as well. Let's do 34 also. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware.
dia pasti kali sema altal umenu uyale la bala dahihi ama maybe kita ada dissipation ma tapi ikut kita ada cuma ada ini perlekoh la bala kus ilik dilu mala drunkenness awalnya sebab kelanir an itela bala la kita kuni ichi la kustala da anxiety itu ichi la kustala dahihi.
Oh, that's English you're reading.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought maybe you had a male Bible here.
No. So that in a bit, no, if you attack in a day,
amen. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. I have only one more verse I want to share, and that's Genesis.
Genesis
chapter 7, verse 1. Amen. 7, verse 1. And I'll only read the first part of it. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for I have seen righteousness before me in this generation.
Lektuna Dios o yadasta Noah, shen ichila arko in church, del tula kala familia, porque okahile in kushta te maloech ichil a tiempo adahin kutunyalbala Noah.
And then in verse 16, it says, they went in male and female of all flesh as God had commanded, and the Lord shut him in.
Lektu cha disera, tula kalto na balche oko, shidal del shichu, tur la kala bala kushana bino le bishabish bikiti arbika noa to fastuna be kalbi uchi arko.
Now there's something that you have to do, and there's something that God is going to do.
Ichito na dahi yan kui at sabetige yan kui abele kui beta Dios.
First of all, you see that God called them to come in. That means that God was already in the ark. He didn't send them in. He called them in. So it's the call of God that you need to respond to. We read the call in Isaiah chapter 26, or was it 20? Yeah. Where he said, come my people and enter in. God has entered in, and he wants us to enter into that same place. There's a dwelling place of the Most High. His door is open to us. Amen. And then we need to respond by coming in. So God initiates the call. This is the way it is with all of your life. You hear the call of God and you obey. And then God shuts the door. You see, the ark was a vessel of deliverance. when the destruction was coming upon all the earth. And you notice that he told Noah that he had to seal the ark. So it was sealed to prevent the destruction that was going to work upon the earth to come into that place of safety. And the shutting of the door was, I believe, the sealing that he speaks of, sealing in the mind. Now you see, a shut door has two sides. It has an inside and an outside. Those that are inside are shut in. That means you don't go out. And the wickedness and the sin and the destruction does not come in. It's also a picture of your soul. He wants your soul to be sealed. He wants you sealed before he releases this terrible destruction from the four winds. It's ready. The only thing stopping it is the hand of God. And there comes a time when that door is shut. Now there were people outside the ark that had listened to Noah's preaching. Noah had brothers and sisters. They had children. He had cousins. These were people of the righteous line of Seth. And they waited to repent too long. You can take that any way you want, and that includes repenting from sin. But you see, they did repent. Jesus said he went and preached to them, so they must have repented. I believe it was Peter that said that he went and preached to them. Yeah, it was in Peter. Yeah, it's in Peter, I'm sure. Is it Peter or is it John? The Epistle of John. Who's the Bible scholar here? It doesn't matter. It's in the Word. It's in just before Revelation. It's in John, yeah. And they did repent, but you see, their salvation was bought at the price of their own life. They had to lay their life down because they waited too long.
So,
yes, you can repent when you see the sky full of rain and you see the water coming up, but the door of the ark is closed. Oh God, forgive me. Oh Noah, I'm so sorry. Please, please. They repented. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to bring the word to this people today. Lord, we pray that we have planted a seed that will cause them to search your word with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their might. Lord, that they might truly say that I am dead to self and risen with Christ. And may they continue, Lord, to walk in the newness of life in Christ Jesus. Lord, we commit this precious flock to you this day. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.